So do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
So the story I want to tell you tonight about Mother Nature is how sometimes Mother Nature absolutely makes decisions for us that we can't possibly think to change or have any say in whatsoever, but also how it can sometimes seem difficult but end up being the greatest blessing and change ever. And that being said, what some people thought was a horrible mistake of Mother Nature ended up being the reason that I am standing here today. It is the reason that I exist in this world, and my sisters do, and my children do, and my nieces and nephews. You see, it's not uncommon in my family that it's known that both of my grandmothers did not marry for love, and that was a sign of the time. They married both for reasons related to World War II that were completely different, but nonetheless, the decisions that they had made for what they had at the time. And my paternal grandparents, my father's parents, my grandmother was raised very Catholic. And you have to remember that some of the things I'm going to say tonight are not acceptable today. But things are very different, and thankfully and rightfully so. But she was raised very Catholic, and she was deeply, deeply in love with a Jewish man named Ahmet. And she was not allowed to marry him. And it was just not an option, unfortunately. And so she was very much behind the curve when most girls were getting married at 18 years old, and certainly by 19, that 10 years later she still was not. And so she was forced and pushed by her mother to go and meet a man, and there was bunches of soldiers here in San Antonio at Lackland shipping out. And she met my grandfather, and the family disagrees whether they knew each other 2 weeks or 2 months before they got married, but nonetheless, they were virtual strangers. They ended up having 5 children. My father was the third, the middle, and the 5th child was my Aunt Kathy, who was born in November of 1958. And Kathy was born with Down syndrome. And at the time, no one had any idea of how to know of any sort of birth defects or birth anomalies of any kind. And they used to use the word mongoloid, which is most certainly not a word we use now. And a very sad, sad thing that is very different than now, thankfully, was that many of those children didn't survive because they were either sent to institutions or they were dealt with, as a lot of the doctors said. So when Kathy was born and the doctor came in and didn't bring the baby and said, "I'm sorry, there's something wrong with your child, but don't worry, we're gonna take care of it." And my grandmother was distraught, but my grandfather, who's this tiny little sprite of a man, he's a Golden Gloves boxing champ of Louisiana and probably weighed all of 125 pounds, he was not having it. This man survived Pearl Harbor, no one was gonna tell him what to do. And he said, "Bring my daughter in." Doctor said, "No, you really don't want that." He said, "No, you're gonna bring her in here." And so he huffed and puffed and maybe, I don't know, threatened to throw a punch, who knows, but the doctors brought her in and said, "If you'd like, we'll be happy to take care of her. We believe for reasons that she may be lower level, so an institution is not the way to go, but we'll take care of her." I have later learned through research that unfortunately that oftentimes meant taking the child into a back room of the hospital and letting them die. And that's not something that medical texts and things want to talk about nowadays, but it's true. He absolutely refused, said, "That's my child, that's my daughter, I'm bringing her home." And so he did. My father, being the middle child, who was 8 years old when she was born, was very much involved in the day-to-day care of his younger sister and did everything he could to help support his mother, who suffered from pretty significant postpartum depression after this news, and wanted to do everything he can to help. So much so that my father ended up creating his own career around being able to help her and being my hero, because he pioneered certain programs here locally in San Antonio that didn't exist before. Now we hear lots of things about early intervention and programs for children that have disabilities or delays. And he tailored his entire career, including getting his master's degree in counseling, to be able to be one of the directors of what is now known as ARC. It was called something different in the day, as well as Bexar County MHMR. And he believed in putting on social events for them, something that was unheard of. And that included bowling nights and dances and all kinds of social things. And so my father put these on and continued to do so well into his mid-20s when he himself was starting to look like a bachelor that was never going to get married. And my mother, that was a little bit younger than him, I'm not sure I would approve if my 16-year-old daughter now came home and said she was going to go on a date with a 24-year-old man, but my mother's best friend, this lovely woman named Anne, also had an older brother named Ronnie who had Down syndrome as well. And Annie was younger than Ronnie, and her mother told her, now, Annie, Ronnie has a dance this weekend, and if you don't take Ronnie in the car, then you don't get to drive the car for the week. So she huffed and puffed, as most 16-year-olds do, and told her best friend, my mother, I have to take my brother to this dance, and so you're going to have to come with me. And besides, the director guy's really cute. I think you'll like him. So they go to the dance, and that's how my mother met my father, because of Kathy. Because of this child that they said to throw away. And then on my parents' dates, they would not only bring Kathy in the pictures, but they'd tailor their dates around the events for all of the members of ARC. In fact, my parents' wedding photos, half the album are all of the people that were part of the ARC group that they ran. And it solidified our father's family and all of the grandchildren of this family, this huge family that we had, in love around this person that people had told them would never amount to anything and wasn't worth taking a breath. And not only is she the reason that I'm here, but she's the reason that I learned, and all of my cousins and my family at a young age, that Mother Nature doesn't always make mistakes, and that it's how we learn to love, and it's how we learn to accept people, and it's how we learn that differences can be incredible teaching moments and ways to learn and love in ways that we didn't think were possible. And my grandfather on his deathbed had made his children promise, and his wife, never to put her in an institution the way that he never did when she was younger. So when my grandmother died and everyone gathered around to figure out what the schedule was, remarkably, a month later, my Aunt Kathy died when she realized that her beloved mother and caretaker was also gone. And the decision was made by Mother Nature for everybody. And that was 10 years ago, in January of 2010. And since that day, we have continued to try and learn and spread love to people and teach other people about how important those are that maybe some think are mistakes, but most certainly aren't mistakes, and be involved with ARC and teach our children and now the other generations of the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren and the great-great-grandchildren about Aunt Kathy's legacy and how Mother Nature does not make mistakes, and sometimes the ripple effect of the one person that someone said wasn't worth it has now touched thousands and thousands of lives and raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for people just like her to continue to spread the love. Thank you.